The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing well. I'm just researching the band you told me to look up.
Oh, the artist.
Yeah, always the on-the-break conversations are great.
Yeah, well, we have music here. I don't know if you know this. They play music in a casino. And Howard Jones.
Howard Jones.
I'll say one of the most underrated artists of the 80s.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, he's got multiple hits, all of which are banging.
Okay.
All right. Glad we got that out of the way. God forbid we talk about restaurants or music for 2 minutes.
Howard Jones.
Wall-to-wall college hoops. Still to come this hour, Michael Montesano joins us. He killed it yesterday. He's that guy. He's the guy who killed it yesterday.
Him and Sean McCollum
also killed it yesterday. Michael Montesano will join us, as will Dr. Bob here momentarily. We always look forward to that. And Jason Weingarten, we have no idea if he's going to show up under a cloud of smoke right between us. We have no idea. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm going to say the nose minus 250, but...
What is he, flying in? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Minus... I'm going to steam that.
It probably should be higher, yeah.
We had this gentleman on in late June to talk NBA draft with us, and we had such a fabulous time. We said, hey, he knows his college hoops. Let's have him on once again. Adam Finkelstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports HQ, director of scouting for 24/7 Sports, the Stanko Empire, as I like to call it, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Adam? Good to see you, man.
I'm great, thanks. How you doing?
I'm great. Is the Stanko Empire, is that accurate? Is that not accurate? How would you... characterized.
Yeah, you know, the football guys have just nicknamed him management, and you know, he's still with that, I guess.
Okay. Adam comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Let me just ask you this, Adam, before we get into your college basketball thoughts today and tomorrow and the tournament in general. Obviously, with transfer portal and NIL, the nature of what you guys, what you do, what everybody at 24/7 Sports does has changed so dramatically. The way that again, Adam Stanko, I've referenced him now a few times for those who don't know, used to come on this show all the time before he became a big maher over there in Nashville at 24/7 Sports. But he said to me, he goes, you know, I don't know if the in-season stuff is as interesting anymore as all the off-season stuff. How has it changed your job on a day-to-day basis? And then in the end, is the takeaway that you like it better or you like it less?
Oh, geez. All right. What I'll say is this is, like, to put it in perspective, Selection Sunday was this past Sunday. On Monday, the transfer portal opened, and there's essentially no rules anymore. You can transfer as many times as you want. You never have to sit out. You can negotiate directly with the school's collective, meaning you can talk money before you decide where you're going to go. All of that is fair game right now. In the, you know, 4 days at this point that the portal has been open, there's over 700 players that have gone in.
Jeez.
It's going to be open for 41 more days. So, you know, roster construction, and we're at this point now where we're kind of transitioning to just pure professional sports, but we don't have contracts yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's headed, but it's really unprecedented time with more movement than we've ever seen before. And it really, it makes, like, roster building and trying to build continuity in your roster a lot more challenging. It's like, you know, a team loses yesterday and everybody says, well, who do they have coming back? And I'm thinking to myself, you don't know. We don't know.
We don't. No one knows.
You know, what's their asking price now? That's the better question.
Yeah.
So I would say I don't really love this part of it. I think anybody who told you they did would be, you know, somewhat disingenuous. I think for the coaches, it's maybe the worst time ever. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, player rights and the right for them to profit off their own name, image, and likeness. And that's all well and good. And I think it's deserving. But this is a terrible time to be a college coach because there is no off season. You have to rebuild your roster on the fly. Nobody's even talking about graduation rates, which are surely going to be impacted. So you got all those variables that coaches are trying to balance in times of year when they used to be able to step back and take a breath.
Yeah, By the way, full disclosure, I just told Adam before the segment, said, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to start the segment by asking you that question. And Adam's response was, am I allowed to curse on this show? Because it is a, you know, I know a kid, I've talked about it before, I know a kid who's transferring from Pepperdine to Alabama. And, you know, Nate Oates is like taking pictures with him and stuff. I'm like, isn't he still in the tournament? Like, shouldn't he be? Is he spending time? Like, that's how the world has changed. It's like, instead of, he spent part of his week before the tournament, before Bama's playing, having to do these kinds of things. And it kind of, and like, and I know this isn't the rules, but it was like, wait, does he get to like jump in the roster now? Like, it was almost like this unfettered free agency feel to it. Obviously, that's not the case. He has to wait till next year.
Like, NC State played in the tournament yesterday. They won yesterday. They had a player on their active roster going to the portal on Monday. It's like, hey, you couldn't have waited a few days? Like, it's open for 45 days. You know, it's
amazing.
I mean, so that's – and you know, I know we saw a little bit of that in college football. It's not quite as prevalent now in college basketball, but it's a totally new dynamic. And the people who have it the worst are the mid-majors, because anybody who plays well in a mid-major league, it's just – making money. Just, you know, some high major collective is just going to reach right out.
All right, let's talk about on the court itself, which is much more fun. I've asked every guest this already today. I'll ask it of you. Your biggest single takeaway from yesterday was what?
I mean, obviously, it's Kentucky. That loss is certainly the biggest talking point. I think some of those upsets were you know, a little bit more predictable, but I didn't hear anybody that was predicting Kentucky. A lot of people thought Kansas was vulnerable, but, you know, for them to lose in that fashion with those freshmen and all the talking points afterwards about, you know, Calipari's job security, whether or not he needs to pivot. One of the things that I think is interesting is after the game, he was talking about how they've always been committed to this one and done model. That's really not true. You know, they pivoted away briefly. It was in that Oscar Tshiebwe era.
Yes.
Just 2 years ago. And so this year was kind of a return to form, if you will. It's not like they've been committed to freshmen throughout. They really did dive into the portal a couple of years ago, and the results have been somewhat the same. So I think it has a lot to do with style of play. Quite frankly, we saw them evolve more so this year but they just didn't defend. And he's one of these coaches that has a hard time getting away from like playing two bigs, pounding it inside, defending and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting what happens there, but I think certainly that was the biggest storyline of the day.
Yeah. What about today's matchups? You follow this as close as anybody. What do you see as a live underdog here based on matchup?
You know, the team that I like it's the last game of the day, actually, and I think Grand Canyon's got a pretty good shot. They've got, first of all, a coach who's been here before in Bryce Drew. Not only has he been here as a coach, he's been here as a player, hit one of the more memorable buzzer beaters in recent, you know, NCAA tournament history when he played for his dad at Valpo. And they've got a guy in Tyon Grant Foster, who is a terrific story. He's one of the best mid-major players in the country, won conference player of the year in the WAC in the regular season, and then again when Grand Canyon won the postseason tournament. This is a guy who didn't play for 2 years because he had cardiac issues. He was at DePaul after being at Kansas. He had 9 points at halftime, and he had a cardiac issue at halftime of his first game. Went back home to Kansas City, suffered another cardiac issue when he was trying to play back at home. So he was forced to sit out for the better part of 2 years. Finally got cleared last spring, went into the portal, and Grand Canyon took him, and he's been exceptional all year long. I mentioned the accolades this season, so that to me is a game that's really interesting. They've got a ton of, in addition to having a great story, they're just a darn good team who can really score the ball, has a lot of metrics that are usually consistent with somebody that can play spoiler or Cinderella. So that's one that I've kind of circled for today.
Wow. Okay. It has also been the theme of this tournament. I talked about it even before the tournament started. For every expert who like loves one side, you will hear just another one on the other side who's as passionate and as convincing on the other. What else beyond the Antelopes today do you like?
So I think one of the more intriguing games is Florida, because they're missing a big guy. And they're playing a Colorado team that I think has a big three that is as talented as anyone. Now, they had to get out of the play-in, and they did so. They got a big game from Tristan Da Silva. KJ Simpson didn't necessarily shoot it great in that opening round game, but he's a tremendous rebounding guard who figured out ways to help them win. Cody Williams, who's a projected lottery pick, really gave him nothing in that opening round game. Now, if he can step up, those three guys are as talented as anybody Florida has. As I mentioned, Florida a little shorthanded. So it's a 7-10 game that becomes a really interesting one, because lots of times in the tournament just comes down to sheer talent. Colorado has those big three that can go head to head with the best players on any team. So that's an interesting one. Third game I've got my eye on is Alabama and Charleston. Now, I actually think Alabama has a shot to win this whole region and go to Phoenix, get to a Final Four.
Let's go. I like that.
Charleston is a dangerous team, though.
Yeah.
And this is Alabama. I made this point yesterday about BYU. They've got like a wide range of possible outcomes because of the number of threes they take. So everybody's into the analytics, and over an extended sample size, meaning multiple games, the analytics are going to pan out. The NCAA tournament is the antithesis of that, though, because it's all just one games. So if Alabama isn't making shots, then all of a sudden they're vulnerable. Conversely, Charleston is a team that can get hot. So if Charleston is hot and Alabama feels some pressure, we know we saw that yesterday, the higher seeds just, you know, you can see them kind of bogged down by some of the pressure of this. That's one that I would worry about. If they get through it and they guard, which is the big thing, they can't overlook Charleston, they got to guard. I really think they could make a run in that region.
Alabama, guard. That is not part of the brand. No, but I totally agree with you on Alabama. I feel that, you know, it's sort of like FAU and Memphis in the first round last year. If people remember before that game, we're like, okay, Memphis is one of these teams. Like, if they can beat FAU, maybe they can go a long way. FAU won. FAU got to the Final Four. I sort of feel this way exactly about this Alabama-Charleston game, where the total's 173. And I think my instinct would be to still go over on that. Adam, a pleasure. Thank you so much for making the time.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
Adam Finkelstein for 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports Insider. We'll come back with Dr. Bob next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. CJ at CJ underscore 510. I guess he's in the 510, maybe, in East Bay. Can you ask how the Vegas horse racing went with Felica? Oh, sorry about that. I can tell you that he had a good first day, and then it kind of went to crap, he said. It's my deep.
Yeah, it's a good question. I was very fascinated by that event beforehand. Yeah. I didn't hear any positive results from our friends.
Sorry, I didn't ask Chris directly, but I think that's the headline. New Jersey, New York, regarding Calipari. For all the moaning about Tony Bennett this week, in order to play the kind of style UVA plays, you need to be actively coaching in games. A lot of these older, big-time coaches with teams who play exciting styles don't adjust, but they're loved due to reputation. I would agree with all that. Jordan McBride, I hope you didn't think my refund request to Wishnev and Will Hill was serious. Those two have made me much more money than they have lost me. LOL. No, Jordan, I didn't think you were serious. Trip Tepper, there should be a mandate for any Captain Hindsight criticizing guests for their picks. The aggrieved party must post their winning betting ticket on the other side. Otherwise, stay silent. I agree.
Great Captain Hindsight reference.
Hey, Rick Mockery has taken a picture of us. Hey.
Hey, Rick.
Am I really, is my neck bent that way when I'm looking at my phone? That's awful. Jeez. I got to really take care of that. Thanks for the picture. Helps me out. Jack and a Prius 2.0. Listen to this. He's putting pizza money on the Houston Longwood exact score, 82-56. Mark that down, Kelly. Put that in VSiN.com/picks. 82-56. You know what that pays? 360-1. He says, why not throw away $5? That's it? 360-1 for that exact score?
Yeah, I think that every time I see those.
Come on. Len Glauzenski, Gil, the transfer portal is insane. Having coach in college, recruiting is crucial. With roster continuity, transfers absolutely destroy a team. Coaching in college now is a thankless job. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a pioneer in betting sports using predictive modeling. He is kind enough to join us, and we are always privileged and honored to have the great Dr. Bob on with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He comes to us from somewhere outside of Denver. The great Bob Stoll. How you doing, Dr. Bob? What's happening, man?
Doing all right.
Whoa.
Down about Kansas blowing a 21-point lead, but oh well.
Yeah. Yeah, don't sell yourself short, Bob. I think it was 22. Don't sell yourself short.
Oh, was it 22? Yeah. Oh, I up by 22 and then looking good and then not looking good.
You know?
Yeah. Though we did have a someone on Twitter, forgot his name, forgive me, that was said wanted to thank you for all of your bracket advice, because he killed it based on your bracket advice, he said yesterday.
Yeah, Kentucky going down.
Oh, you had that. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said avoid Kentucky.
Avoid.
That was one of the things.
Yeah. Do you have?
I've never seen a team.
Go ahead.
I was talking about the Kansas thing. I've never seen a team shoot 73% from two, and the Stanford shot 39%. They had a 73% to 39% advantage from 2-point range, and only won by four. I mean, you could say the 3-point shooting made a difference in that game, but unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. Well,
that's why they call it gambling, Bill.
That's why they call it gambling. College basketball happened. I do that sometimes when I lose a tennis match, and then a little voice in my head goes, "Well, tennis happened." You know, we had a match yesterday that I lost. First of all, by the way, in tennis yesterday, Alex Mickelson is the pick today. Went 1-3, but we had a +174 dog. So it wasn't a disaster, but it was a losing day. But one of the ones that we probably should have won, Dion Parry, your girl, Kelly.
Diane, what'd you do?
She had 8 break points and she couldn't capitalize on 6 of them, right? So it's just like Bob was saying, it's called gambling for a reason.
Diane,
you know? Sometimes it happens. All right, what do you like today, Bob?
Well, I like TCU. I bet it when it was -3 earlier in the week, but it is -4, and I still like TCU over Utah State. Utah State is the worst, my lowest rated at large team. They were 25-6 against Division I teams. That's great, but they were 9-0 in games decided by 5 points or less. So a little bit of luck there. So they weren't as good as their record. And Utah State gave up 29% three-pointers to their opponents this year, which is really random considering that they're ranked 303rd in two-point defense. So they're not really a good defensive team, but they've only allowed 29% three-pointers. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes the coach will emphasize shutting down the three-pointer. But Danny Sprinkle, who's the coach of Utah State, has never had a team with a good three-point defense. In fact, prior to this year, his average ranking in three-point defense of his teams was number 176 in the nation, right in the middle of the pack. So it's really random that Utah State is allowing 29% three-point shooting. So they're not nearly as good as the record. There's a lot of variance in that. Besides, I don't think it even matters that much because they give up. They're so bad in two-point defense, and that matchup really works for TCU's offense. The Frogs don't shoot that many three-pointers. They rank 327th in the nation in percentage of their shots from beyond the arc. So they do most of their damage inside the line, and that's where Utah State is really weak. So I think TCU has a really good matchup advantage against a team that's overrated for a number of reasons. And I think TCU should be favored by 7 to 7.5 points.
Wow.
And the line's 4. So, that's one of the biggest differentials I have in the first round. So TCU is a solid play at -4, even up to -5, I would play it.
Well, there goes one of my 3 survivor entries, Bob, because I put in Utah State on one of them. Oh, boy. Oh.
Yeah, I bet TCU. I all right, let's go, Bob.
Hey, Kelly's with
let's
you.
I had to double check a Bennett.
Oh, well, there goes one of my 3. What else besides that one do you like today?
Well, I'll give you one more. I like Wisconsin over James Madison. I released this one, and it was -4.5. It's up to 5.5. It might come back down to 5, so you might want to wait on that. A few books are showing 5 right now. I mean, JMU has had a great season, 31-3, 13 straight wins going into the season. There's some three-point shooting variance, defense variance there, or they're allowing 28.6% on three-pointers, and it should be more like 30 to 30.5%. So a little bit of variance there. I do like speaking of three-point variance, the Badgers have allowed 37.1% from beyond the arc. Now, there's some variance. They're 345th in the nation. Greg Gard's teams have allowed 33.5% or less for 5 consecutive years and around that for his career, and suddenly he got a team giving up 37% three-point shooting. So there is definitely some variance in that defense. So Wisconsin is better defensively than they've shown. So I think there's some value in that. And obviously they've been playing better lately and not having so much three-point variance. Now JMU has They got a lot of credit for beating Michigan State to start the season. Everybody's talking about that. But they only played two other games against teams ranked in the top 100. Both of them were to number 90 teams. Appalachian State is number 90 in my rankings. They lost both of those games. So, yes, they beat Michigan State, but the other time they faced a decent team, they lost both times. So the 31-3 record is mostly against really bad teams. I think Wisconsin is an underrated team. James Madison a little bit overrated. I favor Wisconsin by 6.7. So I like them at 5.5, still a decent play. But I think you'll be able to get 5 if you wait a little bit.
All right, we didn't plan this, but my other two survivor plays are Wisconsin. So 2 to the good, 1 to the bad in terms of my survivor plays. And by the way, I hope folks, and I just want to speak to those who have listened to Bob here for so many years on this show, I hope people are, just besides the picks themselves, the ultimate, you know, take this team over that team, I hope we're listening to what Bob's reasoning is on, because it really is the process. And, you know, the 3-point variance against that he was just highlighting is just one of so many betting hallmarks of Bob's, or stuff that he bases his bets on. And it is just such smart stuff that, again, you won't hear in the normal discourse on mainstream radio or television when you talk about these teams. People don't usually deep dive into stuff like that. Real quick before you go, Bob, generally speaking, because you mentioned you had Kentucky being beaten, for those of your clients who were listening to your bracket advice, in general, give me the team that you have that leaps to mind that you have better in your numbers than the conventional wisdom, and a team that you have worse. Obviously, Kentucky was one of them.
Yeah, I think probably better is, you know, sadly, it's Auburn. I think Auburn should have been a 2 seed. I just think they're so good. Unfortunately, they play Connecticut potentially in the round of 16. Yeah. I think St. Mary's is better than people are giving them credit for. I mean, they started off the season, they lost 5 of their first 7 games against Division I opponents, and their offense was just dreadful. But since then, they have been rolling. And I think St. Mary's is with a great defense, and they got their offense fixed, and their defense is elite. So I think St. Mary's is a better team than most people think. And so I have the Gales going to the Final Four in one of my pools. So hopefully that will be the case.
I like it. All right. How do you feel about NC State real quick? 10 seconds.
Yeah, I like them. I think I'm not completely surprised by their run, a little bit. Obviously, anybody would be surprised by it, but I do think they're better than the market.
Okay. That's what I was looking for. Step. All right. Bob, enjoy the day. Good luck with all the plays, man.
All right, buddy.
Bob Stoll, everybody. Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com, at drbobsports, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Speaking of which, more college hoops. Another guy who had a great day yesterday. Michael Montesano gave out all his picks on this show. They did well. He joins us next. Talk March Madness. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
ANG as in a numbers game.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the Day Wide Shot. Kelly, look at the line. Look at the line.
Hey, a shout out to Jimmy.
Oh.
Get your rotation number, team sign, and dollar amount ready to go when you get to the front of the counter, okay?
Oh, you're talking about Jimmy Vaccaro.
Yeah.
Jimmy Vaccaro, old friend at the South Point. Miss Jimmy.
Miss Jimmy, too.
Of course.
I used to laugh so much on those days. I mean, like Super Bowl, always like the big days, yelling at everybody at the South Point.
Oh, Chrissy and Vinny goes without saying, but we rarely bring up Jimmy. Jimmy, who mills about.
Yep.
There at the South Point. Yeah, he was so great about moving in a line.
Yeah, oh, he would not let those lines get bogged down.
He'd move it along, and then he'd also mention that the kiosks were available. He was very fascinated by the kiosks. It's very cutting-edge technology.
Kiosks available.
Oh, we got kiosks. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy came on the show the other day, and I think he rolled into a cool 4-1 on his picks, ATS, though he did have one dramatic comeback with Dayton. That made it sound nicer than it could have been. It's Michael Montesano, Circa Booby Prize winner from the first year of Circa Millions. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, but a college basketball Sharpie. How you doing, Michael? Nice job on the picks, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Took a gut punch with BYU early, but came back strong. Got a little lucky with Dayton, like you said. And, you know, it all worked out pretty well yesterday.
BYU, you and I were both on BYU deep into the tournament. We both had Final Fours, Final Four plays. I had a to win it all. Did you have a to win it all as well on BYU? Yes.
Yeah, several tickets on BYU. I took them in November. I mean, I had just astronomical numbers, so I guess I beat the closing line, so to speak, with great numbers. Yeah.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. How much is that worth? Can we cash that in? But you would agree with me when I say this. Anybody who watched BYU all year, this was exactly the fate that was coming, right? Like, this is no surprise. That game was exactly how they play basketball. Doesn't matter how far they're behind, they'll catch you, and then they'll still manage to lose.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, they got down early. They crawled all the way back in the first half to take a one-point lead. And then right before the half, they get, you know, Duquesne went on a run. And then they got down a little bit more in the second half, and then they made BYU made a tremendous comeback to tie it, and then they just fell short at the end. It was just, that's the way they've played all year. If you go look at their game states, especially games on the road, even a few games at home, it's just like up and down, up and down. It's just with their 3-point variance, they only made 8 yesterday, and to Duquesne's credit, they made 7. And normally BYU they average 12 a game. If they don't get to their 10 to 12 a game, there's a good high probability they're not going
to
win.
I was just screaming at Pope to take Khalifa out. And then I was like, get it into Traore. And then I was a little disappointed in him, though, because I thought I don't know if you noticed this with him yesterday. None of his shots were fundamentally sound. He just kind of like, he did this thing where he just like threw it up. Did you notice that about him yesterday? I was like, what is he doing?
Yeah, who knows? It didn't look good. They just looked off. I don't know if it was not really a time difference because they were in Omaha. And so I don't really know what it was. They just looked lethargic from the beginning. And when you need your 3-point shooting to get you back in the game, it can get you back. But then, you know, if you can't make stops at the end of the game, and credit to Duquesne for making
it. Absolutely. That's right. Duquesne, who, again, hadn't been in the tournament in 47 years. And there they are headed to the round of 32. All right. You know how this works, Michael. 4-1, whatever. It's what have you done for me lately? What do you got today? Exactly. What do you like?
So the last time I was on a Monday, I did talk to you a little bit about Colorado, Florida. I like Colorado to beat Boise State, and then I like Colorado to advance over Florida. So the line's moving. I took them early this morning at +1, but you know, on the show, you have to give whatever the line is. I believe it's -1 now, or it might be a pick'em.
I see a pick'em, but we have -1 up on the screen.
Yeah, so I would take Colorado. If you get it a pick, great. If it's -1, take them at the money line. But I like Colorado to advance. You know, they're playing really well. They're still an undervalued team. The big guy from Florida's injury is going to affect them. So I like Colorado on this one.
All right. What beyond that today?
Today, so we'll go through. I think I gave a couple games earlier. Nothing else for today. I like College of Charleston. I took them, and I believe I had Western Kentucky. But other than that, I think the lines are pretty accurate. The Northwestern Connecticut game is moving. It might be getting out of. The Northwestern Florida Atlantic game is moving. It might be getting out of hand, but I'm gonna stand clear of that. But we'll go to Saturday if you want. I got some games.
Yeah,
for Saturday.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. So, we'll go to North Carolina State, and we're gonna revisit back to 1983 with Jim Valvano.
Yes.
They're playing great. They're playing great. I was always told when, you know, I start off handicapping games, you always bet on streaks. I'm not going against North Carolina State. My numbers actually have them -9.5 in this one. So, and I think a lot of it has to do with their last 5 games and the way they've played. And I'm gonna ride North Carolina State. They're just in Oakland, a tremendous win. You know, kudos to Oakland yesterday. I think NC State with a day to prepare, and I think they'll get the job done against Oakland.
I agree with you. By the way, the hallmark, if people remember, the hallmark of that 1983 team was Jim Valvano, you know, ordering his team when they were down to foul the opponent. He benefited off missed free throws, even in that championship game against Houston, most famously benefited off missed free throws. But the other one was, and people forget, they had a game early in that tournament where they won it in double overtime, if I'm not mistaken. Was it against Pepperdine or someone like that? So, you know, sometimes with these games, you know, you can't tell with some of these teams if they have near misses. It could propel them onto great things. We saw that with Miami, as we alluded to earlier, beating Drake last year. Drake, the second consecutive year where they blow a lead. This Wolfpack team, you have to go back to the ACC tournament where they have that dramatic win against Virginia. It didn't happen in this tournament, but maybe that was the fulcrum, right? Where all of a sudden after that, they're just flourishing. And so here it is, Sweet 16's right in front of them, man. They have no excuses now, right?
No excuses. They look great. They're playing with a lot of confidence, and I think they definitely get the job done against Oakland.
All right, anything else tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Gonzaga, Kansas game, and I like Gonzaga. I have them going to the Sweet 16. I have them beating Purdue. In the Sweet 16 in my brackets. So, but in this game right here, I have them minus 8.4. A lot of that has to do with the ratings from their last five games. I think they're very undervalued right now. And I look at the Kansas team without McCullers. You know, they played BYU earlier in the year at home, and they did lose to BYU, and I have Gonzaga rated higher than BYU, and I'm gonna stay with the hot Zags in this one and take them minus the points.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier on the show when Felica was on, I said the two that my instinct tells me tomorrow that I like are laying the points with Gonzaga and laying the points with NC State. You and I did not talk about this, so we are simpatico on that. I also mentioned that I like the Longwood team total under today against Houston. Yeah. All right, and the last one from tomorrow, you got something else?
I don't have an official play, but I saw there was something interesting was the Washington State Iowa State game. Sometimes when you look at your numbers, you can just say, oh, I'm just going to take my number. But I have Iowa State minus 10.3 in this one. I believe the line's 7.5, but I'm not going to take it because I think when I was talking to you on Monday, I really like Kyle Smith as a head coach. What he did at Columbia was just unbelievable. And they've got some momentum right now. We could say Drake choked or whatever it was, but Washington State did what they needed to do to get the win yesterday. And it's going to be a low possession game, two very good defenses in this one. Iowa State does have the better offense, both well coached, but I just thought it was interesting that I'm not going to take it, but it's something to keep an eye on. Wonder if the market's going to, you know, kind of agree with me about the Kyle Smith going down a little bit, but I really like this Washington State team. And I do have Iowa State future to make the Final Four. It seems like all my futures are all in one bracket. So it could be a tough way to go, but we'll see.
Yeah, the committee played a cruel trick on you with that. Okay, last thing before you go then. Team, big favorite, most, if I said one of the big favorites today loses outright, define big favorite however you want. Who is that team? Who's the most vulnerable?
Who is the most vulnerable? Can I say Purdue or no?
You're allowed. You're allowed.
Big favorite. I'm gonna say... I'm going to say Baylor just because their defense struggled. Okay. Colgate gets hot. That could be the team to look for.
All right. Michael, enjoy the games. Good luck with all your bets, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Really. Thanks. Appreciate it. Good luck, everyone.
Michael Montesano, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll wrap things up next. 35 minutes away from tip-off.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. Let me say that again. $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager.
That's a lot.
What you got to say about that? You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now. What are you waiting for? Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We sit at a shield-shaped table at the D.
I never thought about that.
It's like a shield.
It is like a shield.
It's like a Captain America shield, but it's not Captain America-ish. Here at the D, Bar Canada at the D, second floor. Kelly, it is the second morning of March Madness, round of 64. How would you compare this crowd to yesterday's?
We're sitting here laughing because it's only in Vegas could Thursday morning be way busier than Friday right. morning is.
And part of that, I can only suspect, is because people took it on the chin yesterday. And so they're a little groggier getting like here in the morning.
Yeah, they probably drank heavy last night. Yeah. I'm sleeping in tomorrow.
Oh, look at this wide shot of us. Look at us. Hey, everybody. Where's the camera?
Extra wide.
Up there, over there. There we go. All right. You do that at the end of every show. You a little wave.
Yeah, do a little wave.
A little toddler wave next time. All right, we get tweets, we get texts. This is from Jay Sullivan. Remember Jay Sullivan? That's our guy. Love Jay.
I am interested real quick just watching. Like, these dudes in line, you're not getting bets in, man. You got to go to the kiosks.
Guys, you got 29 minutes for tip-off. Listen, Jay Sullivan, it's funny you say that because Jay Sullivan texts in. He's saying, this is what Jimmy Vaccaro says at the South Point. He screams out, bet type, bet number, bet amount on the public address system.
I did get two. I got two tweets, too, that were correcting me on the way Jimmy says it.
Bet type, bet number, bet amount. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate that. This is from
it's awesome.
Jason H11. Hey, Kelly, how'd you do at Sigma Derby this morning? Yesterday, Kelly took a segment off.
Again, perfect example. Plenty of seats available today.
Yeah, at Sigma Derby.
Yesterday, jammed. Buddhist man and his boys had that filled up yesterday.
He says, that'd be so funny coming back from a break and they cut to Gil all alone at the table and you with the crowd cheering you on a horse. This one, oh, Todd, did I really? Todd. Todd at Canarsie Born 65. He says, Adam Finkelstein said, score the ball, Gil, and you let it slide. I believe Clark Kellogg started the silly description. I don't know if it was I was talking about this yesterday. I thought it was Jay Billis who started this, but he's telling me it's Clark Kellogg. Whoever started the expression, score the ball, this is one of these things that I find so fascinating in American sports broadcasting, that someone will say something that has never really been said before. Maybe it was said before, but it never caught fire. But someone will say it in modern day. A great one in football is in space. One day, somebody said, oh, you got to get that receiver in space. And then every broadcaster, right, from then till now, says that, uses that phrase. Score the ball, score the basketball is the equivalent epidemic in college basketball.
I think the perfect example of this and one of your favorites is matriculate the ball down the field. I mean, it's one of the originals.
Well, I do that because it's a tribute to Hank Stram, Super Bowl IV, who NFL Films caught on the sideline, urging on his Kansas City Chiefs team to the Super Bowl title by urging them to, quote, matriculate the ball down the field, which makes no English sense whatsoever. But I'm in on that joke.
Right.
These guys are not in on the joke. So, first of all, let me just say I missed that Adam said score the ball because I would have scolded him and fined him $50 for that. The other one,
I don't really have a problem with it, but it's funny when you start thinking about it in other sports.
Do we score the ball in football?
You were in my head about this yesterday because I'm thinking about, if you score the puck, it kind of makes sense to me. I get it. Like, you scored the puck.
You don't score the ball in football.
But, you don't score the ball in tennis. Like, that would sound really weird. Or, like,
you scored the ball in golf.
He made a birdie putt. He scored the ball. Yeah. I guess he technically did, but that doesn't sound right.
You know the other one that kills me is? Dribble drive, as opposed to what other kind of drive?
The patented travel drive?
The dribble drive, which has been said, for eternity.
That's a good one.
Yeah, the dribble drive. No, but score the ball kills me.
It's really tough to drive without dribbling. It really is.
It is. What is the thing I related to? It's like the, again, I brought it up before, it's like the scene in March of the Penguins, whoever's seen this movie, where Morgan Freeman, who's narrating, he goes, and then one day... No one knows the reason.
I can't.
One penguin takes one step in one direction, and then every other penguin takes that same step, and then they migrate across Antarctica. And that's the sports broadcasting equivalent. One day someone says one of those
really
things.
That really stuck with you.
That's the only thing that stuck with me. And then one day one penguin moved one, it's worth watching just for that. Okay, reviewing then. because Kelly has a basketball pick. So my tennis pick today, I only have one, is Alex Mickelson on the men's side. I haven't had a men's play in Miami. The Miami Open, the second part of the Sunshine Double. Alex Mickelson, who was minus 103. VSiN.com/picks for every play from every host and every guest. Obviously, it's going to be college basketball full today. Massive amounts of picks from everybody on the network. Wes Reynolds alone and Greg Peterson alone are a whole cottage industry of college basketball picks. VSiN.com/picks for all VSiN subscribers. So Alex Mickelson on the men's side in tennis going up against Talon Griekspoor. His numbers are spectacular on hard court, so I'm taking him. And then in hoops, the only thing that I have, and this is not an, it's not an official play, Kelly, for me, but the only thing I'm doing, and I know pre-flop today, is under team total on Longwood. You have some college basketball plays that you talked about.
Yeah, I do. Talked about these a bit yesterday, but still for first round. And I'm going to be adding, I'll be adding Colorado. That is, it's a bit of the, I like the NBA talent on that team, but also like I get a chance to fade the game. So whatever, this is college basketball for me. I'm going to be that guy.
FSU guy talking.
That's right, exactly. As far as other ones I did bet, though, FAU bet that earlier in the week, so better number than it is. Now, that number's out to 4.5 right
now.
Yeah. That is wild.
It's getting a little crazy.
Yeah, it is. Michael just brought that up, right?
The first game that tips off in 25 minutes.
Yeah, like that has moved a lot. I get it.
Against Boo Boo Booby, according to Steve Fezzik.
That's right. Then I got Baylor laying 13.5 there, Auburn laying 12.5, and TCU laying 4.
Look at you.
Chalky chalk. Let's go.
So again, for me, it's the Longwood team total under. And then tomorrow, because we won't be here,
I do have two NBAs.
Let me just get my college in real quick. I have Gonzaga laying the points and NC State laying the points.
I think I'm going to join you on that NC State one.
They feel, again, it's not quite Valvano-esque, but it is starting to get that feel.
I thought it was interesting what Chris had to say about Michigan State and North Carolina as well, because I was definitely the guy who pulled up the lines when they opened. I was like, ooh, UNC under 5?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think a lot of people had that reaction.
I didn't bet it, but like I did have that thought, so I was kind of laughing when Chris perfectly described that, because I was that guy.
That was the biggest thing about like Todd yesterday. He's like, how did I bet against Izzo and Altman? Like, how did I pick against them? February,
Izzo. It's you know, Captain Hindsight again, right? It's easy to beat yourself up afterward.
Oh, he does great at that.
Yeah, like no, it's... No.
He actually, in fairness, he didn't. It's not even hindsight. He called it on the Megabot. He said, trust me, people, my bracket's going to stink because it was so good last year, and I hate how these brackets shook out this year. The teams he wanted to back ended up playing each other. The teams he wanted to fade ended up going against each other.
Yeah, I don't. It sucks.
NBA?
Oregon's kind of interesting to me tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
I know who brought that up earlier, but that was Oregon, I think, would be interesting. NBA tonight, I did bet the Pacers going into Golden State tonight, and the Lakers laid 7 with them. Actually, I laid 7.5. It's down to 7 now. Sixers coming into town. Lakers have been off for like 3+ days. Sixers just mired in these troubles right now, dealing without Joel Embiid, trying to stay out of that play-in range. And then Pacers and Warriors, not exactly that the Pacers have been incredible, but man, your Warriors struggling to just get it together here recently. Kind of stumbling into the playoffs, not how you want to see. So okay. I took 5 with the Pacers tonight in Golden State. Not usually a spot you're looking to run to bet against the Warriors on a Friday night in San Francisco, but my numbers got this spread way shorter than that.
Do you have any, before we go, because we only have a minute here, any NBA, obviously when March Madness is going on, we don't care as much about it, the NBA, but has anything changed in terms of your playoff perspectives on any teams, like macro, like someone you were high on that you no longer are, or opposite?
I think the one worth mentioning just from you know, an overall perspective is the Rockets. Like, we're just where you kind of thought those 10 teams in the West were locked, and you got the Rockets making this push right now. You know, meanwhile, you do have the Warriors struggling a bit. It is something to just be on the watch for. I don't think they're going to get in there, but it's not out of the realm of possibility right now. I thought those 10 teams in the West were locked.
Rockets 2.5 games behind the Warriors for the 10th and final spot, which would be a play-in spot in the 9-10 game.
And, you know, I really don't think Houston's going to do it, Gil. Like, after they lost Şengün, he went down like a week and a half ago. Like, he's been so good for them this year. But they keep winning. They keep winning these games.
Yeah. Well, We'll have plenty of time to talk NBA once the madness abates. Good luck with all your plays today. Again, 20 minutes from now, Northwestern and FAU kick off the second half, if you will, the second half of the round of 64. If you didn't have a good day yesterday, if your brackets didn't go well, if your survivor didn't go well like me, again, I got two on Wisconsin and one on Utah State today. May your day be better today, also from a betting standpoint as well. Good luck with all of it. Go Joe and Go Lake are next right here at VSiN. We've done all we can do. Good luck with all your plays. March Madness and beyond. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.